Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of Anything and Everything. My name is Nina Masuku, and I will be your host. It feels so good to say that. Actually, guys, I am super excited to be here. I think any term in the dictionary that better describes joy, happiness, fulfillment, I am feeling all of those feelings right now, okay? Before we get to any formalities, please don't forget to like and subscribe and join the official A&E gang, all right? That's what we're going to call our little new family, okay? The A&E gang. But most importantly, thank you so much for joining me today, for taking your time and to be with me. I am super, super excited for what I want to share with you guys today. So today's episode is just going to be me and you, where I take you through my journey of, you know, my career and just how we got to where we are today. And most importantly, just take you through what A&E is about, how it came about, and what you can expect on the show. And lastly, my favorite part, if you are on my Instagram, you would have seen that I did ask you guys to please, please, please ask me any questions that you've always wanted to ask me. So whether be it personal, about my career, anything spiritual, today I tell it all, okay? I promise you, I'm going to try my best to answer it as honestly as I possibly can, okay? Right, so let's get the show on the road. I'll be very formal about this part, okay? My name is Nina Masuku. I am an events manager, producer, MC, radio presenter, voiceover artist, but most importantly, I am a child of God, guys. I rip Jesus. I am born again and washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I actually love saying that, you know. I think this is a very important part that people need to know about me. So, yeah, that is me, just in a short profile. In terms of my family background, I was born in Emalahleni. It's a small town in Witbank. And I am the last born of my parents. I was raised by my grandmother. So Nkuleleka Gogo, my mom is late, but, you know, God made up for that later in life, but we'll get into that. So I grew up in a very big family. You know how it is at your grandmother's place. There's a lot of you, you know. So I was raised by my grandmother, my dad, bless him, and my sisters and my uncles that were always, always there, right? So I'm just going to jump quickly into my high school. First of all, high school was the time of my life, guys. If you didn't have fun in high school, like, I don't even know what you were doing. I had such a jewel in high school. So high school was great for me. I remember in matric, I didn't really know what I wanted to study. You know, when everyone else is making plans to go to varsity the following year, I just was like, I don't know what I want to do. You know, and after I finished matric, my family couldn't afford to take me to varsity. So the immediate thing and the thing to do after that is obviously to go find a job. But I also didn't know what I wanted to do. I've always just known that I just want to speak, whatever that can do for me. I just want to speak. I just want to engage with people. And a friend of mine advised me to go to a small radio station back home. It's called Empower FM. To maybe go see what they can do for me. Maybe I can intern, maybe I can learn or shadow someone. So I did exactly that, right? This is straight after high school and just straight after realizing that I'm not going to varsity the next year. So I get there and there was a lady who's actually a good friend of mine now. I said to her, hey sis, look, fresh out of high school, I really love radio. I really love speaking. Is there anything that you guys can do for me? And most importantly, like, if you need any help around the office, I'm available. And she said to me, look, we don't have anything at the moment, but I will be going on leave. So maybe you can just hold the fort while I'm not around. I'll speak to my manager. Oh, even better. Okay. So she spoke to her manager. To cut a long story short, I did get to do her job, which was to be in the office Monday to Friday. And the better thing that just sealed the deal for me was being offered a slot on radio, right? Which was actually the main thing that I actually wanted. So I got offered a slot from 12 to 3. So in radio, if you are on radio from 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. is what we call the graveyard slot, right? So I really loved that show. It was called The Midnight Train with Nina from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., look, my listeners weren't even above 10, but that was okay. Like, I was so happy with the fact that I'm in front of a mic, you know, I am doing what I absolutely love. So I was super excited. I know my dad was one of the listeners. There was a boy I was dating at that time. Shame, bless him. He always stayed up, you know, would support me. Babe, you sound great. Oh, man. Mpumi, a friend of mine, actually used to come to be in the studio with me. Mind you, this is a Saturday, and we needed to also go to church the very next day. No excuses. Like, back in the day, you know, our parents were very strict on us going to church, which I'm actually super grateful for. So, yeah, that was the midnight train. I had such a blast because I actually got to really fall in love with the radio, like, genuinely, and also just grow, you know, because, I mean, no one is really listening. It is a graveyard slot. But, you know, you get to actually just learn more about being an on-air presenter, how you sound, how you want to better yourself. So that was great. And then, unfortunately, the station had to shut down at the time, and I still couldn't go to varsity. So I decided to then go find something at the casino, and they did have something for me. I was a marketing assistant, which was super cool because we actually got to do a lot of events there. Like, every event that they would do, I'd be able to assist. I think the strangest thing about working at a casino is just the hours. Like, you're just always there, you know? You could maybe have a shift from 7 p.m. to the next day. So, but look, I eventually got used to, like, the swing of things. So now I want to go to school, right? And I start engaging my family about it, that I really want to go to varsity. I've always also just wanted to leave my hometown, just to be able to spread my wings, because I knew that, you know what, I really want to do this radio thing just on a larger scale. So the only thing that they could afford to do for me at the time was to pay my fees. But luckily, because of God, guys, luckily, a friend of mine, Bumi, her parents were like, oh, you can stay with her, right? So they were like, okay, I can move in with Bumi. And my family just needed to just pay for my fees. And we stayed together in Acadia in Pretoria. We actually shared a three-quarter bed. It was so tiny. Like, at times, like, I'd fall because but we were so content because we were together as friends. We were so happy, you know, we're finally in Pretoria together. And then I studied events management. And I didn't know at the time that what I'm going to study is actually going to work for me, because I wasn't like decisive on wanting to do events. But I remember looking at the courses that I wanted, that they offered at the school at the time. And I said to myself, yeah, I don't want to do any of these. So events, you know, sounded like, ugh, this I can do. I did that and I finished that. And yeah, now do I go back home or do I find a job? I mean, the first thing to do, I was like, yeah, I've tasted my freedom. I'm not going back home. So I decided to go, you know, look for a job. I went to Brooklyn Mall. I went to Menlyn Mall. You know, you print out your CV and then you go knock on all these doors. Hi, guys. You know, I just come from varsity. Please, can you have something for me? Eventually, I did have something. I worked at a store called Hilton Wiener. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, where I was a stylist. I will say that was a bit tough because they used to sell suits, right? Like formal wear. And that is not something that people buy every day. Like, it's not like a simple white top or anything. So that was a bit of a struggle to actually, like, you know, make the money that I needed to make. But look, I think I'm easy on the tongue and I managed, you know. I later moved to at-home living space. That was actually quite intense. And I think what was most intense about it was the fact that the mall closed at 10 on Fridays. So you can just imagine, you're knocking off at 10, you still need to cash up, and then you still need to grab a taxi. And at the time, I stayed in Sunnyside. The nice thing about Sunnyside is that it was quite busy. So it would still be safe to, like, knock off and, you know, come home at 11. So that was that. However, I still really wanted to do radio and pursue anything that was about voiceovers or radio. So I reached out to a lot of people, because when I was at Empower FM, I always used to just speak to people, you know, the celebrities that used to come there, the singers that used to come there. And one friend of mine, Leroy Chapol, actually, still a very good friend of mine till this day, I said to him, hey, I want to do a voiceover artist. Can you just like connect me? Because that's what he was doing at the time. And he said to me, yeah, you look, I know someone that you can speak to. Gave me the person's number and I reached out to that person and the person said, come see me. He was in Bryanston. Love Mo Nguna. I am so grateful to Love Mo because he gave me an opportunity, right? And the reason why I'm saying that is because not only was it about the voiceovers, while I was there, he said to me, I'm actually looking for a receptionist. So if you know of anyone that is looking for a receptionist job, just let me know. I was like, I'm your girl. You are looking at your new receptionist. And at that time, I still stayed in Sunnyside. I did not know how I was going to get to Bryanston or what mode of transport I was going to use or anything like that. But I was like, I'm your girl. And I think he needed me to start in about 2 months. So obviously, I also just had a chance to just get my life together and see how I can move to Joburg, right? So that was the reason why I moved to Joburg. The first 3 months, I actually had to travel from Sunnyside to Bryanston. Oh, what a chore. Like, I was catching the Gautrain at that time, and I needed to be up at like 4:30. And I am not a morning person, guys. Like, I wish my day started at 9. I wish I could get up at 9. So you imagine having to leave my house around 4:30 to 5 to go to the Gautrain station, get on the train. It just took time for some reason, you know. And even when I would get to Sandton, I still need to take another bus that would take me to Bryanston. And when I get off at Bryanston, I then still needed to walk from the bus station to the office. So that was my life for a good 3 months because I also needed the lease to end in Sunnyside. So I couldn't just leave because I was going to lose my deposit. But anyway, 3 months was done. And then I eventually found myself a new place in Joburg. And yeah, now I was a full Joburg girly working in Joburg, the receptionist job at a post-production company, which really exposed me to a lot in terms of the people that I met. And I felt like I was exactly where I needed to be in terms of what I wanted to do. So, but this radio bug never left me, right? And at the time, there was Touch Central. I don't know if you guys remember Touch Central. Touch Central, you know, I was such a huge fan of Thibaut Touch, still am. And I would always listen to him, you know, and the fact that he had moved from his previous radio station, started his own thing, I was like, oh my gosh, like so big. So I reached out to the station and I said to them, listen, I don't know what I want to do to eventually get on air, but I just needed to be within that vicinity, right? So they were like, oh, okay, girl, we have a show that you can produce, but it's not a paying job. I was like, don't mind that. I was fine because anyway, I had a 9-to-5 job and I was only going to do the producing on Fridays. So yeah, that's how I started getting to Touch Central every Friday. I loved it so much. I was a producer for DJ Slick. And it was super cool because I got to meet like a lot of rappers, a lot of DJs. It was nice. Like it was really nice. Until one day when I got to work, I bumped into our then station manager, Martin Vilagazi. And now Touch Central was now going to be Touch HD, right? So, I mean, I greet him, you know, as the well-mannered girl I am. I greeted him and he said to me, you've got such a brilliant voice. That is definitely a voice for radio. I was like, oh, thanks, sir. And he said to me, you should consider doing radio. Like, you really have the voice for radio. I was like, oh, my God. I am, like, radio is my ultimate dream. I was doing it back home, and I really want to get back into it. And that's why I am volunteering to be here as a producer so that at some point, if someone is not available to do their show, I can just easily step in. And he said to me, okay, well, that's interesting. Please go home, do a demo and send it to me. I was like, demo? I've got it on my phone. Like I had a demo ready, guys. I can't even begin to explain the importance of being prepared if you want something, right? So I had the demo on the spot, which he was very impressed with because you can't want something and not be prepared for it. You don't know that maybe you're going to bump into the CEO of whichever company that you want to work for. And they've got just a minute for you. And that minute can change your life, right? And that's how that minute with Martin changed my life. Had the demo. I was like, give me your email address. on the spot, guys. Within 5 minutes, I have told Martin that I want to be on radio. I am available to be on radio. And even worse, he could hear what I sound like, right? So that's how I moved to Touch HD. And I think 3 days later, he then, like, HR reached out to say, hey, we want to offer you a job to be an on-air presenter. I was like, oh my God, what? I was so excited. And I think what made it more exciting for me was that my show with my co-presenter at the time was going to be right after Touch's show. And I mean, being the Touch fanatic that I was like, oh my God, even better. I'm going to go after the 3 to 6. Like, oh my gosh, like this is my dream now. And I think a day later, I got another call to say we also wanted to produce his show. I was like, oh my God. And I think what stood out later in the year while I was working for Touch, he said to me, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted you to produce my show is because in the year that you were producing for Slick, I watched how you were on time, how you were just so professional, especially because they were not paying me. Like, you know, people, when you're not getting paid, sometimes you have a tendency of dragging your feet, you don't care about it. And he had said to me, I was so impressed about how you just keep time, you're always here early, and you just keep the boys, like, you know? And I was like, oh my God, wow. Like, and it goes to show that you just never know who's watching. You never know who's watching you and just who wants to give you an opportunity. So yeah, that was Touch HD. It's 2017. And I think I was about 25. So yeah, and I actually had the time of my life because I had a show there. And it was so good, guys. Like, I was so fulfilled at that time. And even producing his show, you know, exposed me to a lot of people. And my network, like, grew. My little black book, like, it grew. And it got filled with so many influential people as well, you know. And I also got to meet and work with so many amazing people at Touch HD. And that was for a good year. And at the time, I also got put onto a lot of station projects where I needed to manage projects, you know, so which was pretty cool. If we had the station's talents that needed maybe to be, I remember we had an event in Sun City and I just ran with that, you know, organizing the talents, the times and the artists that needed to be there. So that was super cool for me. But the contract ended, you know, we know contracts end. And I didn't have a plan of what I wanted to do after that. It's 2018 now, and I am feeling like my life is over. Like, 1 minute I was up there in the sky, you know, living my best life on radio and living my dream. But now it's 2018. I was jobless. I think I had a little mini depression there, guys. Like, I think I was just, yeah, things were just not, you know. But I also just still refused to go back home. I think someone in their right mind was just going to be like, yeah, I'm just going to call it a day. I'm just going to go home to my family and recoup. But I said, I have tasted this thing. I have tasted my freedom. I have tasted working for a really great company. And I've tasted what it's like to actually wake up every day and do something that fulfills me. So there's no way my story ends this way, you know? So 2018, the one thing I also believe in is just reaching out to people. And you can never be too proud to drop a WhatsApp and say to someone, I need help or I need a job or anything like that. So that has always been my strong point. And I'm such a people's person that I genuinely don't have an issue with being in need and reaching out to someone and letting them know that, listen, I need help. So that was me in 2018. I think I went through my contact list and was just sending WhatsApps, guys. I was just sending WhatsApps. And this was mainly from the people that I had met at the time, the contacts that I had also made at Touch HD and everything like that. And I reached out to people, you know, I dropped WhatsApps. I said, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Currently unemployed. I am available to do anything. I was not even picky in terms of what I wanted to do, right? So after that, eventually it caught on to someone, right? Because it will catch on. So a friend of mine said to me, hey, actually, I hear Piltusi is looking for an assistant. I was like, you mean the Piltusi? I was like, I'm the girl for the job. Like, put me on immediately. So Pearl's agent at the time called me, set up an interview. And I remember I was so nervous. Like, I was so nervous meeting Pearl, you know, we were sitting in a boardroom with her manager at the time. And, you know, they were asking me questions and anything like that. And when we left, when the interview was over, I didn't have money to go home. And I remember Pearl driving out and she stopped and she rolled down her window because I was standing at the gate. And she said to me, do you need help? Do you need a lift? Should I drop you off somewhere? I was like, no, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. Yeah, I'm just waiting for my ride to get here. And she said, are you sure? Maybe she could tell. Good to know. She's also just looking a little stranded. And like, I was like, Pearl, don't worry about me. Because you don't want to get to a place and day one, you already have an issue. Like, what do you want people to think of you? So I was like, I'm just grateful I got this job. I don't want to taint it in any way or form. Sis, I'll see you when I start working, right? And I think I waited there for a good 2 hours. I remember going back into that office because I needed the ladies. And one of the ladies that were part of the interview said, oh, you're still here? I was like, yeah. You know, I bumped into a friend of mine that worked in the office space when we were just catching up. But the truth is, guys, I did not have money to go back home. But it wasn't such a bad day because I had gotten a job finally after struggling. I think this was in August, right? And mind you, from Jan, I think from Feb until August, I was just like floating and a little depressed. And eventually, I don't know how I got home till this day. Probably one of my friends that sent me whatever they could send me. And I made it home. You know, I made it home by the grace of God. And then I started working for Pearl. I was her personal assistant, which means that I was with her everywhere she was. I was with her from the minute we get ready for the day. You know, every gig that she had, every meeting that she had, every shoot that she had. You can just imagine the kind of exposure I had at the time. And I was just so happy. And I always wanted to pay attention to just how she does things, how she prepares for shoots, and how she just handles herself as the brand that she is, and how she interacts with people, how she handles interviews and all of those things. Because I said to myself, I want to be like that. So it was super, super good for me to be in her space and to just learn as much as I possibly can. So that was Pearl. I think I was with her for roughly like a year. And then what happened after that? Oh, I then got to work with JR because he had artists that he was working at the time. And I don't know if you guys remember the song Ujobu Dlala Kamnandi. Also, like, what a banger. So at the time, I was working, after Pearl, I worked for JR, where I was his booking agent. So every inquiry and every booking that job I had, it would come through me, and then I would just, you know, like, plan in terms of he needs to go to this place after this, all of that. Also just super cool because, I mean, at events, then I know I have backstage pass. You know how it goes. Then COVID happened. COVID happened. I went home. COVID ended, came back again. It's just like, so what now? You know, I was back at that little... But I think I just started getting used to it, that if I found myself jobless, I wouldn't panic now because I've been here a couple of times, you know. Fine. And then I once again scrolled on my WhatsApp, reached out to people. Hey, this is what's happening. Please just, if you have something for me, you know. And a friend of mine said, look, Fisters needs someone who's going to help him with his events. I was like, I'm your girl. I know I've said I'm your girl like quite a number of times, but I was the girl. Like, because I was available and I was just so eager to learn, you know what I mean? So that's how I got into events now officially with Clifford Masinga and Fixtures Mixwell. They put me on hard. Like, they put me on hard. And I think the one method that they used on me was just to, like, throw me in the deep end because they believed in me so much and they knew that I could figure it out. So we did quite a few events with them. We went to Maputo, we did... and all whites at Altitude Beach. And yeah, now I'm in the swing of things. Like, now I'm, you know, I'm confident now with this thing. And the most important thing that I did at that time was to record myself working and just put myself out there in terms of my social media. I cannot express the importance of putting your work out there. Whatever it is that you do, guys, we live on our phones. So every event I would be at, I would record BTS, I'm doing this event, you know, and the fact that I'm doing big events, you know, it just gives my name like some street cred. So I did that and more people just started like booking me, you know, to manage events. And I was like, oh, this thing is working. And I think I've said this a couple of times to my friends that my social media or my Instagram is literally my CV. You know, someone can just go in there and see, okay, this girl does this, this girl does this, like constantly. Because you can't now want to be within and you, like you last posted in like 5 months ago, sweetie. It doesn't work like that. It's about the consistency and just putting yourself out there. So yeah, I did quite a number of events then. I also did a production where I did a show on Channel O called Piano Unplugged as a production manager, which was also just super dope for me. At the time, it was even better because I needed to reach out to quite a lot of artists and I had already like familiarized myself with some of them. I was already friends with some of them. So it was quite an easy one for me. And then I later moved to an advertising agency called The Odd Number. Oh my God, one of the best companies I've ever worked for. Like, oh my, till this day, I still talk about The Odd Number. The Odd Number, I got in as a producer. And while I was there, I won a couple of awards as a producer. So in advertising, they have what they call the Luries. Now, these are awards that actually get to recognize amazing creatives for the work that they put out, you know, the ads that they put out. So I was working on some really dope stuff with the creatives at The Odd Number, and we won some awards, which really validated me. And just in terms of my journey, in terms of you're doing well, sis, like keep going, you know. And I was learning a lot at the time, you know, and which was super, super good for me. So it's now 2024, beginning of the year. I start just feeling like, man, yeah, no, I'm happy, but there's just something missing. You know what I mean? And to my understanding, I was just missing some sort of fulfillment, you know? And don't get me wrong, everything I've done in my 20s, I would do it again exactly the same way, you know, the highs and the lows, because it has really taught me a lot in terms of how I need to handle myself, you know, the importance of hard work, the importance of networking, also very important. So, you know, I'm so grateful for my 30s because I managed to like build in my 20s and also managed to try this and leave that and try this and leave that, because I think we all need to do that, because there will come a time in your life or like an age where you can't be as flexible as you are at a certain age. You know, I don't know, could be married and someone might just decide, no, I want my wife to be like a stay-at-home wife. I don't know. I'm going to get kids at some point. I can't be as flexible and just travel as much as I could. You know what I mean? So I was super grateful for that. But I said to myself, okay, I was at The Odd Number for an amazing, amazing 2 years. Even making that decision for me was really sad, you know, because it was such an amazing space to work in. The culture is amazing. The people are amazing. You know, the work is amazing. So we really did some cool stuff there. But I said to myself, you know what, I think it's time for me to just venture into other things. And I was also just getting a little comfortable there. And I feel like, you know what, I think I need to just do something else. So, like I said, it was a very difficult decision for me to make because I was really happy there. I was really, really happy at The Odd Number. Then I decided to branch out. I think last year, the year 2024, I went through 3 companies, if not 4. And, excuse me, it's not because there was anything wrong with the companies, but I was just not finding that thing that I knew like haunted me, you know? And I also was so worried. I remember being so worried because I said to myself, shoo, like, you know, it's not a good look that you've been with a certain company for 2 months and then you were at this one for 2 months. It means something is wrong with you. Like professionally, it's not a good look. So I made a decision last year, I think mid-October, that, you know what, I think I just need to step back, take a break and see what needs to happen, because there's just something that just wasn't like, you know. And I went into a little season of just being sad because I stopped being busy and I did not know a life without being busy. I did not know a life of not having a life. Like, and I was okay with it because I had been doing it for years. And, you know, it became my norm. You know, I wouldn't really have time to go home. I wouldn't really have time to do much. And I remember just saying to myself and realizing that I think I've made my career my whole personality, because I don't even think I had hobbies at that time, you know? Like, am I into cricket? Am I into tennis? Do I like shopping? Like, where am I? I did not know, guys. Like, it's such a real thing. All I knew was hecticness, you know, managing projects, being so busy and living my best life in terms of being busy. And I didn't have a problem with that. But I keep saying that I'm so grateful to God for giving me the opportunity to slow things down and relook now at my life, you know, and relook at everything, where I am. I also started looking around and, like, it became a norm for people my age to have kids. I'm like, oh my God, we grown. You know, some of my peers were getting married. I was like, oh my God, is it about that time? Because I've always thought it's going to happen later in life. But the later in life was now, you know? So yeah, man, I went through a very difficult time because I woke up and I would be like, oh, so no meeting, no hecticness. Oh, this is boring. I had so much time and I felt so bad for having that time. And I would cry to God. I didn't tell my mom I wasn't working. I didn't tell my dad I wasn't working. Like, I just stayed in my apartment and isolated. And I would just cry. Like, guys, when I'm miserable, it's so dramatic. Like, I wouldn't open the curtains sometimes. Like, I would just roll down the stairs in the house. Oh my God, it's so dramatic. But anyway, and I started praying and I said to God, I'm just feeling empty, you know. I've worked hard, but I'm just not. And he said to me, darling, because you're not doing what you need to do, you know, it's your purpose now. It's calling this. You need to go back into that. And then I looked back and realized that I actually haven't been pouring into my purpose. You know, when I got to Joburg in 2016, I was so adamant, you know, everything I did was aligned to me wanting to be on radio, me wanting to be an MC, you know. So I think along the years, I just got too busy for my purpose. And again, I'll say no regrets, because it has made me the person that I am today. So I started scrolling on my notes, now trying to find something to do or just get an idea of what I need to do next. And the word anything, the title Anything and Everything was there. And it had been written a while back in the early hours of the morning. Because when I have a dream or have an idea, I just write it in my notes on my phone quickly so that I can just revisit it later. And I said to God, okay, bro, is this what it is? And I started saying Anything and Everything with Nina Masu. Okay, you know what? Yeah, I think I want to do this now. And I remember someone said to me, because the one thing I'll do is talk to people that I look up to. And I reached out to a friend of mine and I said to him, like, what must happen? And he said to me, think of something that you would want to do if you had 3 months to live. And you want to do this thing every day and everything. And I said, I mean, that's not even a question. I want to be on radio. I want to be in front of a mic. I want to be in front of a camera. And he said, well, then do that. And I was like, yeah, but. But then eventually I decided that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on YouTube and literally like start my own thing. And I made a call, I think the night before. And I said to Timon is like my right hand lady, like my everything really, who runs my life. I said to her, okay, I want to tell you something. Tell me what you think. This is what I want to do. And she said, definitely, we're doing this. From there, then it was, you know, just preparing. I did a lot of research. Just, you know, I do like podcasts and I watch a lot of people on YouTube. So I already had an idea. So why Anything and Everything? Anything and Everything speaks about not having any limits generally. We are going to touch on so many topics differently. We're not going to have any limits or limitations just in terms of the guests that we're going to have and the topics that we're going to touch. So for me, it was a confirmation because I didn't want to be focused just on one particular thing. I wanted to have the freedom, you know, to be creative as much as we possibly can. So that's why we are here. I am so excited to be on this journey with you guys and just hear what you guys have to say and suggestions of the guests that you'd like to see and topics that you'd like us to cover. Believe me, I will make sure that, you know, we just stick to that. And it's just really about everyday conversations that we have with our peers or our colleagues and everything like that. So I'm super excited to be starting this journey. This episode was just for us to, you know, get just into the gist of things, you know, do an intro. I did say that the last bit of today's episode is going to be me answering all your questions on Instagram. So I'm going to do that. I promise you guys, I'm going to be as honest as I possibly can. Let me just get the questions, okay? Okay, let's get right into it. Describe a perfect day. A perfect day for me, first of all, is not with an early morning because I'm not a morning person. But and I'm not wearing a bra in my perfect day, number two. A perfect day is me sleeping a little longer in the morning, spending time with my friends. Maybe we're out for brunch or just a lazy day at home because I get so busy with the work that I do. And yeah, maybe like being home as well, you know. Being home is super nice where I can just be a child also, you know, there's no boss lady there. So yeah, that I think that's a perfect way to describe my perfect day. Okay, this one says, what has been your most challenging encounter as a female in your industry? I will say that, you know, people look at you sometimes and just think she's just a pretty face. She does not know what she's doing. Actually, I do, sir. I do. And I've found that I've had to work a little bit more extra to make people in the room feel like I deserve to be here. I worked hard to be here. You know, I'm not just a pretty face and you look at me and my appearance and you just think, yeah, this one is just the slay queen and all of those things. And I will have my long nails. I will have my 10-inch wig or whatever. That says nothing about what I bring to the table, okay? So I have had you know, challenges in terms of spaces that I would enter where people didn't know me and would think, okay, does she even know what she's going to talk about? But I mean, I would shock them, obviously. So I think even in this day and age, depending also on the industry, we do still have a bit of challenges just as being females in especially male-dominated industries. But it's super good that the girlies are way up there at this point. I hope I answered that question properly. What's your favorite thing about being an events manager? I love this question. First of all, being an events manager is all about my clients and the consumers. So I love the fact that, you know, we will run like headless chickens throughout the day and all of that. And just in terms of when we're preparing for the event. But I love the fact that there comes a moment as an events manager where you sit back and you're like, yeah, you know, my client is happy, the program is flowing, you know, everyone was on time, you know, it was burning at some point, but we fixed it and we made it, you know. So that for me as an events manager, just seeing my clients happy and most importantly, giving the people the perfect experience, you know. And an experience goes with, you know, just the convenience of people being at an event, you know, in terms of thinking for people. Because as an events manager, you need to tap into a space where you see yourself as the consumer. Would I like this, you know? So all of those things, just thinking of that process for me, absolutely love. Okay. What do you think makes a great relationship? Okay, first of all, I think it's just friendship. You know, we hear this so many times of, you know, when speakers talk about, you know, good relationships, friendship, friendship, friendship. I also think that you must just date someone you like. You know, just date someone you like. I swear to God, it's just easier when that happens. And just communication, man. Just communicating, dating your best friend, dating someone that shares the same values as you, and just dating someone that is not too above you. Do you know what I mean? Next question. How does it feel to have your life figured out? Oh my God, this is a myth. I don't have my life figured out. I actually don't. I actually even have times where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. We just keep going. I don't know what I'm doing. I have those times. But there are some milestones in your life where you're like, whew, yes, now I've figured this out. But just life overall, guys, that's a lie. I don't have my life figured out. I have always wondered, how do you manage to stay grounded? Am I grounded? I think that it's just how I was raised. My grandmother really raised us well to just also know umuntu. You know, you can never be too high for a person. Whether you are the CEO of the company, you know, you still need to treat the cleaner, you know, with the same grace. So it's just from the background that I come home, back home, even at church, we were taught to just know umuntu, you know the person next to you. So it's just that understanding, and also just understanding that I am a person because of the next person. Yeah, I hope I answered that well. This one says, how do you handle a day where you are not confident? Where you're not confident, sorry. I actually have quite a lot of these days. The thing about life is that, yeah, it doesn't say, oh, you're not confident. Okay, fine, we can try this tomorrow. No, you still need to show up. You still need to go to work, confident or not. But I find that I tell myself that I need to go through the day and just do whatever it is that the day needs me to do, because life will not stop just because you're not feeling confident. So with what I do, I literally just go through the day and do whatever the day needs me to do. And I just show up, you know. So yeah, I hope I helped there. Do you believe in the idea of soulmates? Do I? I do. I do believe in the idea of soulmates. I am such a lover girl. I love love. I really love love. And I believe in just having the right partner in your life. I do believe that you can go far with having the right person in your life, just in terms of being loved right, of being supported, you know. And also, you can also just go down with the wrong partner. You know, a partner can just either make or break you. So yes, I do believe in the thing of soulmates. Okay, when was your last heartbreak and how did you deal with it? Sometime last year, early last year, and I did say to you guys, like, I will be sad, okay? I was so sad. I cried a lot. That's how I dealt with my heartbreak. I cried a lot. I cried. One thing about me, I will cry about something little, something as little as I don't know what. But yeah, my last heartbreak was last year sometime. And you know, with us women, we are able to leave emotionally even before we break up with a person. But even by the time I broke up with this person, it was sad for me because I was like, oh damn, this is over for real? You know, like, yeah. And I also had done the work emotionally. So I was like, you know. But yeah, I cried, isolated, and I dealt with it so that I never have to revisit that chat. I'm trying to find the next here. You never post about your love life. Why? Yeah, I kind of don't want to. I really love the fact that my love life, you know, I want it to be sacred for me. I want it to be in private. I want to enjoy it without people's opinions. I also just don't want, because of the space that I'm in or the industry that I'm in, I don't want to be, you know, judged by who I'm dating, you know, because you're dating this person, you're like this. And then next thing, and even 2 years later, he moves on and then they, you know, they tag me, the person is getting married. I don't want that. So I really have always believed in keeping my relationships private, just to enjoy them in private, dates in private with no one's opinion. So yeah, guys, you won't be seeing my partner anytime soon. Actually, ever. Online, no. I'll just keep that one to myself. And then this one says, hi, boss lady. Please tell us about your childhood. How was it like? Jeez, I had a fantastic childhood. Remember I mentioned earlier on that, like, Nkhuleleka Gogo, so it was just cousins, sisters galore, right? I had a really great childhood. I don't remember, you know, being in some sort of, I don't know, whatever. My grandmother just made sure that we have a good childhood. You know, I was with my sisters. Yeah, so it was great, actually. And I think the best thing about my childhood is that social media hadn't taken over yet. So we played on the streets, okay? we played Black Mambatile, we played Skipping Rope. So I had an opportunity to be a child. And I'm so grateful that I was a child in that era because we genuinely were kids, you know. So that was, that's a plus for me. Just trying to find another one. Okay, this one says, when it comes to men, what's your type? You're like getting personal. My type, a kind guy. First of all, guys, I love men that are well-mannered. Please be kind. Like, I need you to be kind, just as a human being, besides just as my partner. Kind. I like men that are slightly older than me as well. And you know what? If you are a Jesus gent, like, we will be like this, even better. It just makes even more sense for me. And it just makes my life easier when I'm dating someone that knows God and understand God as much as I do. And I love neat freaks. I love men that's like, that are clean, you know, like clean car, clean apartment. My mom used to say to us that if you want to see how a man's house is like, look at his shoes. And till this day, I do it. So if you lose me by the shoes, brother, no, it's not happening. So yeah, I think in a nutshell, that's my type. And hard workers, please. Please, 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 please. This one says, who's your biggest inspiration? I had an aunt who's late, and this also frustrated me at some point, but she just always believed that there's nothing I can't do. And also being the youngest in the family, why don't you say that the big sisters can do it? She believed in my magic so much, and I guess I really got to appreciate it when she had passed, because I said to myself, oh my God, like, I see what you were seeing, because now I was starting to believe in myself a little bit more. So I hope that, you know, me, you know, working as hard as I am is really just making her proud and everything like that. So yeah, that's my biggest inspo. I think this is the second last one. It says, what is your advice to young girls? Do you? Abang. To young girls, do you stick to your true self? Don't be pressured by the standards of social media. They say it a lot that nothing is real there, you know. Don't be pressured by what your peers are doing. Or another thing, don't feel like you're running out of time. Relax. Everyone has, you know, appointed time for everything that needs to happen in their lives. And you don't have to have life figured out. Having life figured out is overrated. No one does. I think if I can just give you guys a mic right now and ask, do you have your life figured out? No, we don't. We're all just figuring this thing, this life thing out. So don't feel pressured to be, you know, to have your life figured out. And just be stingy with yourself, man. Be stingy with yourself in terms of, you know, and also just stay away from boys for some time until you're a little grown. This is now me talking like a big sister. I'm going to take one last question. This one says, what's your take on hustle culture? I think that hustling is a very personal thing. And in one way or another, we are all hustling. We are all hustlers, you know, in one way or another. My biggest thing for hustling is just be careful for it not to compromise you. Or not to compromise what you stand for or what you believe in. Because there's a very thin line there. You know, we are so hungry and so eager to get what we need to do that, you know, we can easily just have lines blurred. So hustle culture for me, I think it's such a real thing. We all need to do it. I do think that it's a very personal journey. No one needs to understand your hustle at times. And a hustle does not have to be, you know, such a big thing. A hustle is whatever it is that you are chasing, that's your hustle. And don't let anyone, you know, come in and tell you about your hustle. No, it's your hustle. You know, whatever it is, big or small, stick to your hustle. Don't let anyone, you know, corner you into doing things that you don't want to do. And yeah, man, your hustle will pay back. It might take years, but your hustle always pays you back. So yeah, guys, that's where I'm going to end it for today. Once again, thank you so much for joining me. I hope that I did answer your questions that you have sent through to me. as honest as I possibly could. I can't wait for you guys to join me on episode 2. If you haven't done it yet, please don't forget to like and subscribe and join the official A&E gang. I'll see you in episode 2. Bye.